Hey guys, it's Joey and Ray, and I am super excited to be bringing you season 3 of A Human Connection. And just like all the other seasons, we're going to be bringing to you some of the most influential people in this industry, some people that I have followed and have mentored me along my 30 plus year career in this business. So hope you join along with us so we laugh and we learn along the way. All right. Well, hey, guys, welcome to another edition of A Human Connection. I am super excited today. This is a guest that I've been after. I've been meeting with his crew and his agents and all the people, you know, that run his career. I've been trying to get him as a guest on here. And finally, we get the one and only. This is Brent Ehlers, Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Premier Senior Marketing. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And it wasn't loud. Big time you ever, you know better than that. I probably took it more of a sarcastic route to the whole thing. And I was like, oh, you don't, I think the first thing I said to you is, you don't want me on.
You don't want me. That is exactly the first thing you said, which made you want you as a guest even more.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I could probably come across arrogant to a lot of people, and that wasn't the point at all. It was just like, you're doing.
You know, we know the real Brent.
Yeah,
we know
exactly.
The real Brent under that surface. Well, let's, for everybody that's listening, give us a little bit of your bio, your background, how you got to be where you at or where you're at today of running Premier Senior Marketing, the largest organization of its kind in the senior market. So let's talk a little bit about how you got there, and then we'll kind of dive into maybe a little bit more about Brent, the dad, the husband, the new papa, all the good stuff.
The good stuff.
That's right.
It's good stuff. Quick. Well, how I got to Premier probably is a long story, like anybody else's story. I don't know. I think we all kind of have said, all of us veterans, that we probably didn't look to get into the insurance world when we were, you know, going through the high school and college and things like that. So where I came from, brief history prior to, is that I was working for Ford Motor Company, and I got transferred out to Salt Lake City. I was married with 3 kids, and the marriage didn't work. I have no problem with telling people that, pretty transparent guy, you know me. And I was fortunate enough to bring my 3 older kids back home with me to my hometown in Norfolk, Nebraska. And I was working at a place because I needed to find a job. So I was working at a place that was completely not who I was, wasn't in sales. And one of our senior folks here on the sales side, he knew me because we had kids that were about the same age. And we were on the Y ball fields where our kids were, I think, were playing soccer. And he ran into me. We were just small talk. And he said, you know, we're really looking for another marketer. I'm like, what the heck do you even do? And he started talking about it and said something about insurance. And I'm like, holy moly, do I want to get into insurance? I mean, that intimidating. Why would somebody want to do something like this? And I don't remember if he got back with me again. I knew Mike and Tom, which we can talk about a little bit as well. But Mike and Tom owned the company. And I had known them. I went to school with Mike, and he was a year older than me. And I knew it Tom because Tom had kids that were around my kids' age, my older ones. And so I took the plunge and went and had the interview. And I started with Premier in May of 2001.
Wow.
And I started off as a marketer. I can't remember what employee number I was. I probably should have wrote that down and always used that somehow. But I think it was anywhere from employee 5 to 8 or somewhere around there. And all we did at the time was long-term care. So I was brought in. The long-term care business was doing well. Premier was doing really well. We did business with a company called Mutual Protective out of Omaha, Nebraska, and really learned the business quick. I rode with some agents. I listened to the marketer that they had. And if anybody knows me, Joanne, you know me really well. I was like, okay, I got this. I don't need to listen to anybody else anymore. I can do this.
Let me get a list,
you know? And I was fortunate that they gave me an office. They gave me a stack because everything was paper basically, right? And I had the ruler and called one person, and Joanne doesn't want to talk to me, so she's done. Go to the next one. I'll type it to you. Yeah. So was able to learn the business pretty quickly. Then the roof kind of falls in on us. As that carrier was getting out of the business, right, they had gone into a new building, and there's a big sordid story with that. And that's really what actually got us to get into the Medicare business. And we started doing business with a few other carriers. Mutual of Omaha was a huge saving grace for us. We had never done Medicare supplement business before, and worked as a marketer as we built up agents and agencies along the way, learning the business and recruiting agents and working with some other carriers and things like that. Still was a marketer up until about 2005. I think we're all probably still marketers in one way or the other, but was a marketer up to about 2005. We started bringing in marketing assistants is what we had called them at the time. And that's when, as we know, the fall of 2005 was when Medicare Advantage really was introduced in its form that it is now, although it's changed so much over time. Brought in an assistant, probably was still considered a marketer, but more of like a sales manager at the time, and a marketing assistant. And as the business grew, we started hiring more people. There was more of a need. We needed a support in so many fashions in our business, whether it was because we built ourselves so much on support all the time. And so we brought in more people on the ops side, and we started bringing in more salespeople to where over time that ratcheted up. The team that I had on my team, I was very fortunate. We had probably five or six marketers really enjoyed that. Enjoyed training and you know, allowing people to learn and understand the business. I think my biggest thing to them was throughout the whole training was, I'm not sure how much formal training you're going to get. The best formal training I would say is sit over here next to me. Listen to what the words I'm saying, because I'm going to say the same stuff over and over and over again. Take notes. Mm-hmm. Can't probably get the interaction unless we split the call on a sweater or something like that. And then I want to you to ask me questions like, you know, you kept saying this or that or whatever to really learn the business. You could tell which people were really listening and diving in, because then they would start getting on the phone and they would start saying my lines.
The exact same thing, yeah.
Okay, you were listening. You are, you know. I mean, one of the biggest thing was my first marketer or assistant that I had, that we had hired for me. I remember her one time saying a line that I had always used when I was trying to recruit agents was, you know what, if we understand, might not work for you today, but we certainly wouldn't want to have another marketer or another agent in your area selling to your clients and whatever. Next thing you know, she's using that on every single call. It was pretty
still
funny.
Still being used today, I'm sure, Brett.
All day long. It's good one. Not trying to trick anybody, but it was more of, you just need to understand the opportunities here. So, but in its form, I did that, worked mainly with the senior health products, Medicare products, ancillary products, because we split off who would do final expense annuities, life products. Over time, just because it just got to be, you know, with just not enough bandwidth for us to do everything. And so I did that up until, oh boy, I've been in my current role for almost 6 years now, to where I got fortunate enough to be put in this position of the vice president of sales and marketing, and then, you know, managing partner with Integrity. Okay. I couldn't have been more proud of that. Was an emotional event. When that took place, very prideful of it, but been in that role. And I think, I like, you know, when you and I talk or when anybody talks, it's like, you know, what's your title? It's like, I know what my title is, but I'm trying to think, what do I actually do all day long? You know, it is sales. Don't get me wrong, but it's, there's a lot more to it, as the industry's changed, we've grown. The great connection, you know, with Integrity and working with, you know, folks like yourself and so many other people. So it's evolved and changed so many times.
So you were the first to obviously announce this thing called Integrity and becoming a partner. What year was that?
2016. That was,
Which doesn't seem that long ago, right? That's not that long ago.
But the funny thing is that as great as it's been for so many people, you know, the funny thing about that is that we were at a carrier rollout meeting in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And Mike Wingate and Tom Sheath, the founders of Premier and obviously the co-founders of Integrity, they said, hey, we're going to have dinner, offsite dinner. And it was those two, and there was some of us, the sales managers, And we were like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. And we went to this place. We were outside. We were kind of by the water somewhere. I can't remember the name of the place. And they tried to tell us what was happening. And I think we were just like, yeah, okay.
What are you talking about?
We don't know what that means, you know, because we were just so laser focused and wanting to be the best. We wanted to be number one with everybody. You know, we wanted to keep doing what we were doing. And I believe that. I mean, I don't think I'm selling myself here. When I'm thinking about it, it's true. It's just, it didn't make much sense at the time, because how they had said it to us is that, well, nothing's going to change, you know? And so I think our thoughts were, okay. And then it was like, okay, we need another drink. You know, can we get a drink over here? I think we were probably more focused on that just because we had a long day being in the carrier meeting or something like that.
Yeah.
But that was, in the summer of, 2016. And boy, oh boy, has life been just a ride. It's been a ride for the whole thing. We've got so many stories and things to tell that were amazing stories. But what a ride it's been. And I'm so privileged and honored and been able to get closer. You know, obviously, Joanne, you and I have been good friends for a long time. But being on the same platform, working together arm in arm, and immediately when we see each other, we can talk about, you know, kids and grandkids and, you know, business or whatever. And I have that relationship with a number of partners that I probably wouldn't have had, obviously. We would have been friendly, but it wouldn't have been at that point. So it's certainly been so rewarding.
I'm a big person about moments, like different moments in your life. And then looking back, two things that caught my attention when you were talking about your background. So it's funny how when the long-term care door you thought was getting shut, and probably a lot of moments of, now what do we do? And what's this other thing called Medicare? And then look, you know, the thing that you thought was so scary and unsure ended up being one of the better decisions in your life. Same fast forward to integrity of, what is this thing? And this seems different. This seems like not the plan. What do you mean that we're going this direction, that we're going this direction? And then look what it's done. For all of us, I mean, those moments, like if you could go back and tell Brent on both of those days, hey, buddy, it's only going to be okay. It's going to be beyond your wildest dreams. Isn't that fun to think about what you were thinking about then versus what that door closing, you thought closing meant?
I think it's such a teaching moment, and you do get caught up. I mean, I think of any great leader or anybody that I respect so much is that, you know, we're humans, right? I mean, we are. And I think to think that we don't have certain feelings, maybe we look like we're robotic or because we're in a certain position or whatever. But let's just be real. I mean, we get the emotions, we get the doubt, you know, we get the insecurities and things like that too. So such an amazing teaching moment. I mean, it speaks volumes to, you know, your own growth. I look at, you know, in my own introspection of, you know, what this industry has done correlating to who I am as a man, you know, as a father, and obviously now a grandfather, which we can talk about in a little bit. But I look back to, yes, I've gotten older. So typically when you get older, you feel like you're getting a little bit more wiser and you've gone through so many experiences and stuff like that. But this business, I mean, I will say this, and I didn't say this, I don't know that I believed in this business for quite some time. I think it took a little bit to really understand what was going on, how it affected so many people at every level. You know, we pride ourselves on the support and service for agents because we truly love that interaction. We want to help them, you know, grow or you know, conserve their business or whatever. But then when you take a step back and you think about all the people that they're trying to help and how hard it is sometimes for consumers and for agents and things like that, you get so prideful, and you learn so much about yourself and about everybody in here. And there's times where I get a little emotional thinking about it because it's been so impactful. I just know for me, and for my growth as an individual person, you know, that, it's been an amazing ride you know, I know our CEO always says we're just getting started and everybody kind of hits at him a little bit when he says that, but there's just, we are on such a great ride and it's there is so much to learn still. And there's going to constantly be changes, is like you talked about with long-term care going into Medicare products and all the changes that have happened, you know, with Medicare products or some other things that we do here, that, you know, we've got great people. Whatever's in front of us, we're going to make sure that the agents are as prepared as possible and as effective as possible, because they have a bigger, something bigger out there that they need to do than what we do. That's to make sure that folks get the coverage that they need and they deserve and that they are taken care of. And that just makes you so proud when you talk about it.
Yep. Nope. I could not agree more. Do you have a lot of what I call pinch me moments of like just sometimes looking around? Like anytime we're together, it's usually at a wonderful location that a carrier's taken us to, or Integrity, which is, and I do. And I think I even said that in one of the talks that we had when we were in Dallas last, of just these moments that if you don't stop and like look up and look around and look who's on either side of us and where we're at now, you and I probably have a very similar childhood. I'm a small town farm girl from Iowa. Yeah. You're a small town, I think, farm boy from Nebraska. To look back and to tell those kids, you know, when we were trying to figure out as teenagers and what we wanted to do in college, and to think that some of these moments that we get to share now. So what was, one, I want to know if you had some pinch me moments, and then two, what was plan B for you? What was plan A maybe? If this was B probably,
right.
What did Brent as a 18-year-old think you were going to be doing someday?
Well, let's just jump to that real quick. I certainly, as probably a lot of, I can speak to boys that are in high school that play sports, and maybe they excel at a certain level, whatever that is. I certainly thought that I had a 15-20-year career playing pro football ahead of me. And that was probably my number one goal. That's all I cared about at the time. I didn't care much about school, you know, and I was probably fairly typical boy in high school that, you know, certain things mattered and school didn't. And so that was my goal. And the unfortunate thing for that, and then everything works out for a reason, I couldn't be more happy with it. You know, the unfortunate thing is I ended up having 3 shoulder operations in high school. I was recruited, you know, by a lot of people, very fortunate for that. But after that started getting around, the recruiting started to shrivel up. I was like, okay, I was doubting where I was going to play or not. And I go to the University of Nebraska, being from Nebraska, because that's, you know, you kind of brainwashed, and that's just what you do. Because we don't have much else.
I don't know. You had a choice, probably, right?
Yeah. So I ended up going to school, and I didn't play my first year. And then the second year, they tested my shoulders out, said, oh, you can practice, whatever. We want you to play. So I tried to do that, and it didn't work over time. And I was devastated, because I thought that was basically what I was supposed to do. You know, you talk about teaching moments for not only yourself, and you learn about things. My older 3 kids, you know, they excelled in sports. I had 2 that really were excelled at a big level. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, what you learn over time is that what you're actually trying to get out of it, is going to be to maximize the opportunity, maximize what God gave you. I mean, you know, He gives us certain things, and I've always tried to be that dad or that parent, to where it's like, I did push my older kids probably more than I needed to, but my thought was, as being the best dad possible, was this is what you were given to be this great. So I think that's what I need to do. Now, whether they would have been good in band, and I would have pushed them at that too, but they were in sports, and I understood sports really well. And I think that's kind of the deal. You kind of think that's who you are. You're kind of locked into that's who you are. And there's always another side. You make the situation the best you can. You open that next door, that might not be the right one. You open up the next one, and boom, there it is. So long story short, the goal was to be a professional football player. That never even came close to happening. You know, my genetics wouldn't allow me to, with my shoulders and stuff like that. But, you know, I outside of that, to be honest with you, I think that the first thing I wanted to do when I graduated from college was to work for a sports team. At public relations. That was really what I tried to do. And I had a young family at the time. And that would have taken a lot of travel and probably me away from that young family and trying to latch on with a few teams. I had a few different NFL teams that I had been contacting with to work with them. And that would have taken a lot to make that happen. And so the decision was made to where, you know, I worked for, it was like a semi-pro basketball team in their marketing department and some other things that I did. But you also have to make some money, and that wasn't going to happen. And so I ventured into a few other things or whatever, but so thankful for this. And you can't look back it's always been said is that, you know, you don't want to look in the rearview mirror. You want to look ahead because that's what's ahead of you and can't focus on the past. So I couldn't be more happy with where I'm at now. And my wife's such a beautiful thing. She's amazing for me and for my family. Jen and I have been married for 17 years, and we have twins that are 13. And you know Jen really well, and
I'm a big fan of Jen Ehlers.
She's amazing. You talk about being a farm girl. She's the one that has the tools to fix things in the family. It's not me. The one that keeps everything together.
If the faucet's leaking, there's Jen underneath the sink.
No, the joke here is around the office here and with our friends is because I made a joke one time about a vehicle I had where I think the something was corroding, the battery was corroding or whatever. I lifted it up and I opened up a can of Coke and poured on it. And next thing you know, the vehicle started or something. So everybody's giving me so much crap about, oh, let Brett fix it with a can of Coke.
Or a can of Coke on it. It'll fix it.
No, I don't know anything about it, but now she's...
There was a comedian that I saw not too long ago, and he was in a very similar position, but his wife, and probably like Jen, loved all that stuff. Like, she loved the home repair. She loved mowing the yard. She loved being the landscape, fixing up everything outside. And so the comedian was like, okay, but we have to, like, go and tell all of our neighbors that this is your choice. Yeah. Right. So that I don't look like some schmuck, you know, that's just inside watching TV while my wife's
in. 2 years ago, she was up on the roof putting our Christmas up before we started having somebody do that for us. But I'll have somebody from here to say something and be like, you kind of that little girl. You think I have anything to say about what you do, you know? So, yeah.
Oh, I love it. That sounds very Jen-like. That's perfect. But yeah, it is kind of funny when you go back and you think about, you know, as high school or even into college, what you think would be a successful career, what you think you're going to be. I wanted to go into hotel management. I mean, like, where would that have gotten me?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
I think I saw... You don't know. And I think to me, this is what I tell my grown kids is... You know, put away the fantasy of NFL or you know, being an astronaut or whatever, if that's not in the cards. But don't get so focused on I should be a X because that's going to get me to Y, this title or whatever. It's find the right people to connect yourself with and tie your wagon to, have a good mentor, and make sure that you love either who you work with or why you do what you do. You can't always have both. We're lucky we got to find both, where we love what we do and why, and the people that we're working with. But I get reality. That's not going to happen everywhere. My kids even tell me that now. I'll try to give advice on something, and they're like, Mom, we all don't live in the world that you live in, right? We all can't love our job the way.
Well, I will tell you this. I mean, you're already saying it. Maybe I'm saying it another way, is that if you're going to do anything long term, whether it is work, which that's probably what you know, probably think of when you think of something long term outside of, you know, marriage and some other things, is that you've truly got to love it. You truly to love, and it doesn't mean that you love every second of every day of it. There is a grind. It does get at times to be a little bit more of a job than really what you want it to be. You don't want it to be a job. You want it to be something that you love. And again, those folks, you know, whether it's you, Joanne, and some of the other partners that I've gotten extremely close with over time, is that that's what just exudes out of them, is that they are passionate about what they do. They love what they do. They love what they created and being a part of that. And I think that that's such a huge part. No matter what you do, you have to be happy or else it turns into nothing but negativity because it becomes a job. It becomes, yeah. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do this.
Yep. So. Yep. So when you've got a long runway ahead of you, but as of this point right now, what's your proudest moment from a business standpoint, from a professional standpoint, and then we'll get to the personal.
Yeah, I would probably just tell you is, you know, outside of seeing folks grow that I've worked closer with in my past position here, I get very prideful when I see those folks do really well, or I just see them evolving and things like that. I think the biggest moment for me was, you know, becoming a partner. I think that was probably the most emotional day that I had. At this, you know, at Premier or a part of Integrity, I didn't even understand what was even going on. I think I just lost it a little bit, which isn't typically me. And once I got grasp of it, I just started to get so emotional that we were in a meeting at a location at a hotel and that had meeting rooms. And when they got done with the whole thing, I basically couldn't stay in there because I was just crying so much. I went up to my room and I called my wife and I'm crying. I couldn't even talk. And she didn't know what to think, you know,
what happened?
What's going on, you know, whatever. And I said, let me call you back, you know, and I called her back and I said, I'm sorry. And I explained it to her and I just was like, just so emotional. So, I mean, without a doubt, there's been so many things. I think we all could write so many chapters and books and book after book.
Should.
Things. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the things that we've been able to do and see and the great friendships and relationships and with, you know, whether it's partners or whether it's with agents and agencies or carrier folks, you name it. I mean, it's just run the gamut of so much that we can be so thankful for. So that'd be the biggest one as far as from a professional.
Yeah. So let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to Brent, the dad, the husband, the new papa, or what do you want to be called? Like, well, I know you're a grandbaby, way too young to start calling you something yet.
Yeah, I don't know what she's going to end up calling me. my first granddaughter, I don't have any others, is my first. Such a proud moment on many levels. You know, every single time my son sends a picture, he sent a whole bunch of pictures right before I even walked into this room to do this. And she used to look at them yet, you know, so... you know, just being able to interact, you know, they did FaceTime on my birthday and, you know, she was trying to hold the phone and, you know, she's only about, what is she, about 7 months old, I think, probably get her, I don't mean to, but it's such an amazing thing. I have five children. I think I said that before, three older ones, and then I've got two that are at home right now. And I think that the dynamic of having kids at different levels is different, as well as, you know, my older three are out of the house. One's married, two are engaged. And then I've got the two that I'm still trying to get in headlocks half the time on doing their homework and brushing their teeth still at 13 years old and things like that. So it's a total different dynamic. I feel like through all my experiences as being a younger dad and now an older dad, it has certainly given me more pause to what things do matter and don't matter. And I think my teaching to them or being a dad is still the same, is I love them no matter what. You know, I don't know that I'm the toughest, but I'm pretty tough with my kids because I want them to do the best they can. I don't need them to be straight A students if they're not capable of it. I don't need them to be, you know, the best basketball player on their team. But if it's something that they want to do, then I do want to push and drive because I think that it teaches them lessons for their whole life, whether they're still going to play the sports or no sports. And they want to become something. It helps them in school. It helps them interact with their teachers and their friends and so many other things that I think myself is still being old school. But with a little bit of a, you know, a young kid at heart for certain things or whatever. But it's been interesting being a parent as my oldest son. I was 21 when he was born. And then my kids now, I just turned 54 and my kids are 13. My younger ones are. So it's certainly, it's different. The world's different. You know, iPhones in your hand every second of the day, and that's the only way people talk to each other. The kids, that's all they do, and that's certainly different. And the world's a little bit different. Doesn't mean we have to be different as parents, because I try not to be, but I've got a different philosophy on things just because you just get a little older and get a little more experienced. You know, whether wiser is the right word or not, but you've gone through certain things before, to where it gives you a lot more perspective from that angle.
I absolutely agree. And there's 10 years between my oldest and youngest, and everybody teases my son. We had two girls and then our son. And everybody teases our son that he was the spoiled one and he got everything and he got the cool parents and they got the strict parents. But the more we would listen to that, and then, like, if you really go back and think, like, yeah, he did get different parents. Because sure. When we got our first, we had no money.
Right.
We had no experience raising a child whatsoever. You know, to fast forward to our son, it's like the world changed a lot, but so did we. So I think it is almost, hopefully it wasn't more spoiled, but just, I think he did get different parents. He really did.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. It's funny that you say that because, you know, we deal with the same things. You know, my older kids come back for, let's say, Christmas, and they will just look at me like, are you kidding me? I mean, you know. The twins are getting this. They're only this age, you know, and or if they do something, I can tell that I probably was a little more strict with my older ones because my younger ones will get away with a little bit more. And I think one time my daughter, her and I are a ton alike, my oldest daughter, and I think her head almost popped off her shoulders when she turned to look at me after they said or did something, and I didn't do anything about it. Yeah. And she was like, are you kidding me? You know, so yeah,
my room and TV privileges.
Right. No, it is different. But again, you learn from whether it's your mistakes or just experience or whatever. And I think you learn probably once, you know, what the expectations are. Expectation reality. I've used that probably way too many times in my existence. Mm-hmm. 5 years of what people are, whether it's anybody in the world. I think that so much has changed, and got a lot of good people out there, but sometimes, as I said, I think the expectation and are a little bit out of whack at times on certain things, and that's where you got to kind of ground people a little bit.
No, I agree. So your job, whether you're at work, at an event, or at home, your job as Brent, as dad, as leader, is always to be pouring into others. I've seen you mentor. I've seen you be the best friend to people. Where does that, like, where do you get your fulfillment, motivation, inspiration, whatever you want to call it, so that you can always be pouring into others? Where does that come from?
I think it matters to me. I will say this, is that it matters to me, not that I'm necessarily liked or highly thought of. I think as humans, we need that, right? There's a part of that. I'm not saying that's not. But I think to me, it is a matter of making people feel good and feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Make them feel like they have a purpose, that they have somebody there that's with them. You know, I think, to be honest, I'm total honest person, as you know, very transparent. That was not my MO, going through this company and living this journey and things like that. I will be honest, initially, I think I was probably a little bit more about myself. I was more about what more can I get, you know, out of this job and out of this industry. And I think thank goodness, you know, I don't know when it clicked or whatever. I almost want to say it was probably 10, 15 years ago where it was like a total understanding of what my being is supposed to be. And I have always been a leader at about everything I've done. You know, I was captain of the football team in high school. I can speak in front of people. I've never had that. And so I've said to a lot of people, Joanne, is that as you get older, you learn who you are and you learn who you're not. And you need to utilize that, your best skills, to this is what I do really well. I speak in front of people and I love doing it. I have no problem with that. I'm a transparent guy. So this is who I need to be, because that brings out the true Brent.
Yeah.
But who I'm not is not somebody that's going to put pivot tables together and show you all these different fun things to do on a computer and, you know, some other types of things, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I really feel that when you get beyond what's in it for you, and understand who you are and how you can accentuate that to help others. I think I get a kick out of that more than anything. And, you know, it's like turning a switch or whatever, and really trying to, that's the way you best live your life that way.
Wow. That's beautiful. And I think it goes along with, you and I were both fortunate enough to be able to go to the Ziegler Leadership Conference. And the quote we have it in two or three different places all through our building. It's the mantra that I learned from Dan McNerney, which is, you can have everything in life that you want if you help enough others get what they want. So if your mindset in your first early years, which is pretty human, is what's in this for me? How do I get me to that level? How do I make more money? How do I be seen? Right. Whatever that switch happens in your life to why, like, wow, you guys got a lot of great potential. I'd love to help you get where you need to get.
Sure.
You said it's like a light switch, but it's actually a lot of work. I don't think there's too many people that went to that school of, if you make sure everybody around you is good, that's the best thing that you can do for yourself. I mean, that's parenting. We talk about it all the time here, that parenting and leadership are so interconnected, and what works in good parenting and what's hard about good parenting is the same thing that what works and what's hard about good leadership too. But it's putting them first, having the discipline, finding the joy, but making sure that they know, because there's a lot of people that work for both of us that I'm sure this is their first job, mm-hmm. their first big kid job, as they call it here.
Yeah.
And in some ways, I almost wish that they wouldn't have come here first, because I want them to go experience a little bit of the crappiness out there of how a lot of employers do treat their employees and then come here, because those that have, you know, you can kind of see that difference. But it all comes down to, we spend a lot of time together, and you're going to spend a lot of time in these four walls. If it's not enjoyable for you, and if I'm not adding to that, and if this, and if going to work is only subtracting from your life, we're not made for each other. I want to be a place that when you walk in these doors, the people that are here and the leadership and the whole mission of what we're doing is to add to your life, then we're going to be good.
Right. I agree with you. Right. Very well.
Yeah. So that's definitely my mission for sure. So, I know there's a thousand different directions we can go here. There's a couple more things that I want to add to, like, what is your perfect day? Like, if you could design the perfect day, are you sitting on a beach? Are you at home watching football? Are you playing football? What's a perfect day in Brent Ayler's world right now?
Oh, that's such a loaded question, because I don't think at least my mind doesn't think about stuff like that very often.
Well, I want you to.
You stumped the panel. How about that?
All right. I never stumped, Brent.
I think the perfect day, you know, would be where no phones are involved. You know, it's time with the family where we're enjoying each other. No matter what the activity is, no matter what the weather is, if we're, you know, if we're at a, you know, a warm location by water, great. If we're not, if we're a few years ago, took the family out to Colorado and we stayed in a house out there and it was snowy all over the place, had the fireplace going, hot tub outside, you know, it was just, it was beautiful. I think those things matter the most to me, is being, you know, with my wife and my kids. There's been many times where my wife and I, or I'll say to my wife, and I know she said to me, is that we don't even have to really talk. If, you know, you're on the other side of the couch, I'm over here. There's just something about that mm-hmm. that makes you feel all right, you know? And, I think that is it. I don't know if there's a perfect thing. I don't really think about football very much from me ever playing anything, because I probably struggle getting up from this chair to walk to that door without being in a little bit of pain. So I don't think I want to be in any more pain. But I will tell you this, and I know it may be not a direct connection to your question, but I try not to look back too much, because we all have a story. I think I've given a lot of detail on my life here to where I tell my kids, I've made mistakes. I'm going to continue to make mistakes. I'm a human. But I try not to look back to allow those things to get in my way of how I move forward and how I present myself and show my love and care about people. And I think that those things you learn to have it matter to you so much, and you get that from your family, at least I do. You know, I've got some really great friends and I love being around them. But you know, there's something about being around that family core, no matter what you're doing, that's the perfect day, whether you can draw that picture or not, you know, with sun or snow or whatever.
It doesn't really matter.
No.
You get people around. Well, Brennan, yeah. you are one of my favorite humans. You are what I would call a magnet type of personality, where people want to be around you. They are drawn to you. It's not because you're the tallest or the biggest guy in the room. That has nothing to do with it. You are so good. And one of the things I've always wanted to say to you, so I'm glad I have this on tape, you are so good about recognizing others. Like, I've never been in a meeting where you didn't stand up and say something about what a great job the presenter did, or what a great job, you know, how nice it was that we all got to come together. That's a huge compliment to you. And I think it goes back to your character of, again, wanting to make sure that everybody around you is comfortable and growing. But I wanted to say that to you for a long time. So I'm glad I got to say it on tape that.
I will tell you, if I can interrupt you, that was probably a learned, something learned, because it's that evolution of who you become as a person. Yeah. And you really get to understand that it's not about you. And I think that is something that I've certainly learned over time. It's certainly not fake. It's who I am, and it's who I become.
You can't fake that.
Yeah. Maybe what who I was pre or whatever that, but I appreciate you saying that. It means a lot to me.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all on this journey, right? Where if we woke up each day and everything was perfect and nothing needed to be made better, nobody else needed to be taken care of, then what fun would that be, right?
I think people think it would be fun, but yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you opening up, appreciate you being available, appreciate you letting me track you down and have as a guest on here, because I know anybody listening is going to want to know a little bit more about Brett and what makes him tick. So appreciate your time today, Brett.
Oh, thank you for asking, and I'm glad that I finally said yes. How about that?
Me too. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening, and tune in again soon. Appreciate you, buddy.
You bet. Take care.
All right. See ya.